Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives.
We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hey, it's Eva.
It's Kylie.
And we are back, bitches.
Welcome back.
Officially season 3 of Hello Universe. I'm giddy. I'm excited. Maybe a little bit nervous.
I have missed you all. Please message us and tell us everything about how you've been.
Yes, tell us that you missed us. That's always nice to hear.
I have gotten a few of those recently. Like, I promise we're coming back.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah, I mean, true to form, we took a really nice long summer break that I think was honestly just so appreciated. And that's the wonderful thing about taking a break is you come back with, like, now I'm just like, I also missed the process actually while we were away. And like, now you come back with a rejuvenated appreciation and energy and excitement. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like I say often, if I'm traveling away from my kids, like, it's a nice feeling to miss something.
Yeah.
You know, like, it can feel uncomfortable to like long or miss, but also it's a really beautiful thing and nothing beats a reunion.
So, yeah, totally. Yeah. Can I also say though, I feel like this summer was, I don't know about you, but I've talked to a couple of people who've been like, this summer has been a lot of like undoing and unfurling and like taking care of my own personal life stuff where it's like, I know for me, there was this real sort of like rest and taking up, not being so focused on work and just like kind of enjoying myself, but also in the process, taking care of a lot of like, there's like a lot of shit going on, not necessarily like, more abstractly than I think, or maybe even energetically than like, tangibly, but it's been a wild summer.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I think there is only dissolving. That's really where I'm sitting with recently. But it did feel there was definitely a lot of dissolving happening this summer. And I basically traveled for 2 months straight. So there was no business things that could really happen because I wasn't home, which was really, really, really lovely. And also, again, nice to miss something because then you're back and I'm like, okay, watch out world. I have 1,000 things. Here totally. We go.
Yep. I remember like living in New York, people would always say the best thing about like leaving New York is also coming back. I think that's like how I feel about home oftentimes. Like it feels so good when you come back home too.
Yeah. And I think I love summer because I really do, you know, I grew up in a beach town. So I really associate summer with this like fun and play. And I took my kids, you know, to the beach all the time. I just had a really, really, really great summer of like play and adventure with my kids. And so I think that that summer is my favorite season. And then fall shows up.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, hi. Summer, but I really fucking love you.
Yeah, it's true. Fall is beautiful. The only thing, and I do, it's a special feeling. There's like a romantic feeling to fall for me that makes me feel like in all my feels. And also there's that energy of like the, even if you're not in school, people talk about back to school energy. Anyway, I definitely feel like seasonally, like things in a weird way kind of pick up before we go into hibernation mode for the winter. The only issue I have with fall is that it feels generally so short. I don't know how it is over where you are, but I think that's why it's hard for me to be like, I mean, I do love fall, but it almost doesn't feel as distinct as summer. Cause I feel like with summer you get this like huge chunk of time. And I think with climate change also fall just is getting shorter and shorter most places.
I mean, I think that's the beauty of New England. Like New England does fall better than most places, you know, we've got the leaves, you've got like, you know, we're like the birthplace of pumpkins. I feel like
that totally makes sense. Yeah. Cause I've talked about how I think like Portland does spring really well. I could see like New England just being the hub of all fall goodness.
And I just feel like fucking alive every time. I used to think it was the me who was a student and missed being a student, but like I watch it in my business and now I know enough to know the rhythms of it that summer I'm like really joyful, but I don't have a lot of interest in like building in my business and fall comes and I am just like, I feel like I can't create fast enough. Yeah. I'm like just so excited to be in it and sharing and building and totally. And that's what's, because now this is my third fall. And so it feels really nice to recognize like, oh yeah, this is like, this is definitely your pattern.
Yeah.
And your own personal rhythm. And it feels good to be in that kind of bigness.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. Before we jump in with the updates, I know we both have things we want to share, which I think I'm really excited about, because now it's like, we're taking all that energy and ready to put it on the world. So why don't you tell the people what you've been working on?
very excited. You know, Even has been helping me behind the scenes make peace with the way in which kind of the infinite mystical coaching that I do and the like strategy, action, businessy stuff that I know really well, they have sometimes felt really like separate, and I can wear one or I can wear the other, right? And that's been a whole process of integrating, which I think will continue. I feel really pumped because I've created a new space that really like sits at the intersection of both. And my husband said something really great to me the other day, which I already told you, which was like, you act before you think a lot of the time. And he said it as a compliment, right? Meaning like there are lots of people who have trouble acting. They get stuck in the thinking. Oh, and I yeah, like go me. From like He's idea like to me. Action, idea to action, yeah. right? And he was like, maybe you could help people like do the doing. Because it's just not hard for it, right? Like it just like, anyway. So I've been thinking about that idea of like taking big action and feeling fearless. And the idea that when we can really like call in our bigness, we can take big steps easily, right? Mm-hmm. And the way you call in your bigness, I think, is to find your edge and make it home. And so there's two main ways that I do that. One is shadow work, and the other is to do the thing that I'm scared to do, right? Yeah. And so I have this container. My working name is Fearless. We'll see by the time the show goes live, but and it's a accelerator for your business that's about like finding the edge and making it home and figuring out the rules so that you can break them and building something that's really yours in a way that feels, in a way that you feel powerful in. So it's shadow work, it's action. I'm gonna really push you to like take big steps so that you can feel confident in your business's ability to make you money.
Yeah. So. I'm so excited about this. I mean, so as someone who's watched a little bit of like the trajectory of your work, what's interesting is having watched you say that, you know, there's a way in which it hasn't felt integrated. And I think what you're coming into is the integration of this process, which I knew you were going to land in eventually, because these two parts of you are you, like they are yeah. you, like you're so embodied in. Like you love and you care and practice both of these things. And so of course you're going to find a way to make it work. The business side, the mystical side that feels in integrity to you, I think. And also to the people who I think that resonates with. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people need that.
Well, and that was one of the things that was interesting about this summer is I went through a whole chapter where I thought like, maybe I don't want a business coach anymore. Right. Like I really gave myself permission. Again, this is the shadow work stuff, permission to just feel into like, am I doing this because it's safe? Am I doing business coaching because it's what I've always done? And right. And the reality is like, I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun. Yeah. And I really want to help people who are excited about a thing that they have to offer, but are afraid to really put it out there or afraid to really claim, like, you know, to really fill the space that is for mm-hmm. like, wait, it's like there's a spot on the floor that only you can fill. And if you don't fill it, it just remains vacant. And I want to like give people permission and tools and guidance and a gentle kick in the butt mm-hmm. to like fill their space, because it's just going to be vacant if you don't, right? It's not space that gets to go to anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just for you. And
like, what a waste and what a shame, you know, like that's the whole thing. Like the world wants your magic. And as someone who knows very much what it's like to get in my own way, you know, like, especially in business stuff. Yeah. You sound like exactly the kind of coach that I could have used, you know, and probably can and continue to use, because you're always helping me like get unstuck in the most beautiful and generous ways.
Yeah. Well, it is very fun. Between you and Liz, you're both like, oh, good job creating a business coach partner. but yeah, I feel really lit up. I feel really lit up because it feels like the kind of container that like, you'll walk, you know, there's lots of healing containers you can step into and you walk out and you are new and you know that you are new, and then you get to experience your world reordering. This is one that will reorder your world, and also you will feel new, if that makes sense, right? Because the action is a big part of the medicine, right? Applying and the action is a big part of the medicine. You'll get really instant feedback, which will then be great, because that some of that instant feedback will be, I want to die, I'm so scared. And then we'll like hold space for that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll bring in that other set of skills that you do so well. Yeah, I love this. I think this is gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. It's not yet ready, but by the time this show launches, there will definitely be some free workshop that will kick this off. Mm-hmm. So come find it and come play along.
Yay! Love it. Love this fall energy and where it's taking you.
Okay. How about you, pal? What's going on in your world?
Okay. So for me, I also have a program that I'm very excited about. One that I've been talking about for a very long time. It was in the works and it wasn't ready yet. And it's coming back full circle almost a year later. So the program is called Flow, and it's all about healing your relationship with productivity, which is a life lesson of mine. It's something that is like fucking near and dear to my heart, because it's something that I've struggled with, honestly, my entire life. And I mean, like, I can remember this being an issue in high school, like the feeling of not enoughness pushing me to need to do more, or being or having my worth being measured by like how much I was accomplishing, and then also not accomplishing a lot, like not actually getting as much done as I ever wanted to, because then I would be in such overwhelm and pressure and stress, and I would just get in this fucking loop, which then caused so much shame, so much like, honestly, like a lot of like self-criticism, self-judgment, self-hate. It's been like the crux of a lot of my own personal healing. And when I say it's a life lesson, I mean, like, I think everybody has a couple of life lessons. Like when people sign up to work with me, when in the application, I ask like, what are some of your life? What are the three life lessons like you think that you're meant to learn in this lifetime? Yeah. And it's always interesting to see what people say, but my answer is definitely like this: healing my relationship with, like a fear-based need to do and coming back into experiencing what it is to be. Mm. So, this work just feels so fucking powerful. Honestly, what I think I'm going to be able to offer people, the people who, and I know you are out there, because this is so pervasive in our culture, but also I have just attracted so many clients like this, feeling of like it can be really apparent, where it's like the constant clinging, forcing, flailing, stressing, overwhelm of like, oh, I need to get all these things, where your entire day is dictated by only doing like what I need to do, which is a very, very, very limited way of living. And it shuts you off from like so much. And also, so sometimes it's pervasive and sometimes it's just like low grade, where you don't even know that your complete dialogue in your store and the story in your mind that's actually going on all the time, 24/7 in the background is like, wait, 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 what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And
I mean, I've shared often on the show, right? You were my coach when I was like, oh, it turns out my mental chatter is 1,000% just things that I need to do or have failed to do. Like, yeah. That was like I still remember the moment of being in my shower and being like, wait, is this actually all that I think about is my doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I stole that language from you, this idea of to-do list thinking. Like, that's it. It's like, we are all in to-do list thinking, and it's really tragic. Really, really, really tragic. And there's just so many reasons for that. You know, it comes from oftentimes, we go into this in the program, but I honestly think it has a lot to do with our nervous system. We're either in fight, where we go into hypervigilance mode and we're like, okay, I'm going to fucking do all these things. Or we're in flight, where it's like, I'm overwhelmed, I got to run the other direction. Or we're in freeze and we're like, ah, I'm dancing around both and I'm fucking totally stuck. Or there's fawn, which is like, I don't want to actually do any of the things that I've agreed to do, but I'm doing them to people please, because I think that's what I have to. And this course is for you women out there and men who are like no longer consenting to this needing to be the default of your life. You're like, I know there's a better way. This is bullshit. I can like, I believe in something greater, but I don't exactly yet know how to do that without blowing out my nervous system or feeling like I'm a weirdo or feeling crazy or feeling like I'm disappointing people. I just think this for a lot of people. So like, you know, you have your course on money. And this course, I think for some, like, that's the interesting thing about healing is that the thing that is causing you the most suffering is oftentimes the portal for your liberation, right? So for a lot of people, money is a huge, 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 huge issue. The other issue that I see a lot that's huge is this productivity obsession, like relationship piece. And if you have lived your entire life and you no longer want to live your life this way of like being trapped by this system of being, this is your portal to liberation.
And I think what's really amazing once you start to like, you know, fall into this work that you're speaking to is that like, it's hard to enjoy the things that you are doing when they are tied to proving your value as a human being.
Yeah.
Right. So like, perhaps you love running, but if your value is proven by how frequently you work out, then running is stripped of its joy. But if it becomes like unhooked from evidence of your goodness or badness or worth, and you're just choosing with kind of sovereignty, oh, I want to go for a run. And all of a sudden that run can be playful and joyful and nourish you in a way that the exact same 3-mile run could never take care of you when it was like proof of failure.
Yeah.
Totally. Or like latent proof of it, like, you know, waiting to prove that you were.
Bingo, that's it. Then you can actually, like you said, like what the words that caught my attention, like you make a choice. It's a choice not based on like sovereignty, and not surprisingly, there's three parts to this course. The whole third part is just sovereignty. It's just all about different ways and how we can come back to our own sovereignty. And that comes back to like trusting ourselves and being in our bodies and all these things. But like, that's what I want to stress about this program is not anti-productivity. Like if you like running, I want you to run, but from a place of joy and because it's a choice, a sovereign free choice, not because you feel
you're bad if you don't.
Yeah. Not because you're doing it in reaction to anything else. And that's another reason why I think this program is going to be so great, because I know I'm going to attract a lot of people who enjoy work. Like you and me talk about that. We love work. And I think oftentimes like the scary thing about the anti-capitalistic narrative, which this program is very anti-capitalistic, but then we like internalize a story of like, we go to on the other end of the spectrum. You know what I mean? Which I've also
done.
We make
a binary.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And we're like, okay, well, if I'm working, then it means I'm a cog in the wheel and I don't want to do that. And so you start feeling, I don't know, bad about being ambitious. And I'm like, ambition ain't a dirty word. Like, you know what I mean? So it's for the people who, like us, value work, but don't want to be a slave to it.
Yeah. Like, basically, if you are, I almost am thinking of like, if you're a ambitious, high achieving, recovering people pleaser, right? Yes. If you're a Hermione Granger type, this course is for you.
Totally. And I love that description.
Like, what is Hermione Granger capable of if she's not trying to prove to all these dummies that she's smarter than them? If she just fucking knows it and then moves with ease.
Yeah.
And she runs the whole wizarding world.
Yeah. I love that. And I'm just like so excited. I'm so excited about it, because I knew a year ago when it was supposed to come out, it wasn't right. And now I am so pumped. And it's this experience of like, I cannot wait for people to have access to this information, because I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I don't want to hoard it and it needs to be like I think people need to have it. So
as I'm saying something,
yeah, of course.
Which is just, I share often, like one of my go-to adjectives for you is like integrity. I guess that's a noun. Okay. Either way, one of the words I love to use to describe you is that you're just like someone with like deep integrity. And what to me is really cool is that this program showed up a year ago and you were all excited about it and it was going to be amazing then. And then also like it called itself back mm-hmm. on the back burner.
Yes.
And I have watched you take like a whole nother pass through this very topic, right? It's like you already had an incredible embodied wisdom about like dropping this pressure to perform and do. And now it's like you had the idea, you swam in the medicine for a whole nother turn around the sun. And here you are like, fucking supercharged to hold space on it. And that feels like, it kind of tears my eyes. That feels so potent. And also like a very example of what the course is, right? Which is that if you're not striving to accomplish something to prove, then you can just swim in the medicine and become more and more and more and more potent. And then what gets to happen?
Yes. I love you, Kylie. I just, you know, we talk about how important it is to feel like seen and heard. And I think I feel very seen by what you just shared, because that's exactly, I mean, that's going to be part of the program when I talk about this, like this idea of like trusting instead of forcing. And like, that was what this whole process was for me. I was like, it wasn't right. And now, yes. And everything that you just said. So, yeah, thanks for naming that. So I am, yes, just fucking on fire and lit up about this program. And as I'm even saying this, so this episode's coming out, I guess, in the end of September. So right now there's just a wait list, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes for a place where you can add your name to the wait list. And if you get on the wait list, you will get a big fat discount, because that's how wait lists work. But I don't actually know when it's coming out yet though. Now that I'm talking, I'm like, oh, this would be really great to have. I think as we're coming into fall and then like before we hit the new year and where anyone gets like really crazy about doing shit. So I don't know. We'll see when it comes out, probably, hopefully sometimes before the end of this year. You can, yeah. Add your
don't worry. Also, we're neurotic about our doing 24/7. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly. This will be a forever needed course. Yeah. Email me or fill out that form, that link, or you can always just DM me on Instagram, which is like how I love connecting with people.
Amazing.
Cool. All right. Hey, that felt good. So where do you want to start?
Okay. So I want to speak to something. We could do a whole thing where we rehash our summers, but sorry, everybody, we did that privately.
Yeah.
We couldn't wait. But don't worry, we have no shortage of things we are.
Yeah, we're going to give you like the best of. We're going to like take the juicy bits and share them with you.
But I have something super top of mind, and it's actually very much tied to your course around doing and productivity, which is, as you know, I have ADHD. Like my mom does, my dad does, my brother does, like my son does. Mm-hmm. Some of this officially diagnosed and some of it not. And one of my best friends from college, my college roommate is visiting and they have ADHD. And they were like, hey, your brain is like mine. You could try this pill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've never taken ADHD meds.
That's like what I want to ask you. Like that's mind blowing. So you've never tried any medication? Mm-hmm. What can you talk about that as to like why or...
Well, most of my experience with ADHD was, because all four of us in my natal family had ADHD without really knowing it. We knew my mom did, mm-hmm. But we didn't really recognize with the rest of us. And she's like, her ADHD is really loud, right? Like she, you know, because ADHD can show up in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. And hers is like really big energy. Like she's kind of what you would think of as someone with ADHD. Like she's really big energy when you like, she can bounce around to a million different topics, like really charming, kind of chaotic and disorganized. Mm-hmm. Right. And my role in our family became being the organized one. Because I have a brain that's pretty good at like taking big ideas and turning them into order.
Yeah.
Eva got this last night when I just started like pummeling her with questions to help her write an email.
Yeah, it is
right.
Great.
So
Which is so, what makes you also a really effective business coach.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Like brainstorming big picture and then turning it into something that's like structured is one of my favorite things to do. And so as a kid, like, and I had a lot of like personal satisfaction rooted in like, I'm the good student and right, that I create safety for myself by being the one who teachers like. And so I had a deep rooted interest in being the one who like could keep track of things or could like, you know, make the phone call to reserve the hotel room or read the map on our trips or get my homework done. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I couldn't really see. I literally was in my 30s when a therapist who'd known me for ages was like, Kylie, you have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just couldn't see it. Right. And which is interesting because it's like, for most of my life, I just felt wrong. Right. When I realized it in my 30s, I like, it was like really emotional because I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, that moment where you're finally seen and you're like, I'm not crazy. There's something wrong with me. Like, there's a reason for this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember reading a book. It was about adults with ADHD. And it was a story with this woman who, like, every day was trying to remember to bring something in from her car when she got home. And like a week and a half went by and she couldn't remember it. And I started to cry.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
you saw yourself in
That's a thing that's not just me being dumb.
Yeah.
So anyways, I never took medication because I never like
you were had... because you were like functional.
I was functional. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like I'm fine. Like, what do I? Yeah, I'm sure that's helpful. Like, I'm pro medication in general, but like, I don't need it. Like, I've grown a successful business. I like have the lights on in my house, right? Like, my husband is very organized, so that really helps.
Yeah.
And then my friend today was like, hey, why don't you just take this? Like, you have a whole day to be productive. Why don't you take it and see what the experience is like, just to know?
Yeah.
For her, so, it's been such a game changer. Oh, go ahead.
So it was always from a place of like, it was never resistance. It was just from a place of like, not knowing, like being
it
like,
this literally never occurred to me that I could have so much access to myself.
Wow, that's nuts. I mean, I just feel it's nuts for like, because I'll get into this. But I have my own experience with taking ADHD prescriptions, not for ADHD, for recreational uses. But I guess, well, let's fast forward. Now that you've tried it, are you like, oh my God? Because I think that if you had known that this would have been your experience, you probably would have taken a lot longer. You could have been like ages ago, right?
I mean, it's almost hard to imagine. I mean, it's funny because there's a part of me that's like, oh, of course this is showing up now because it wasn't emotionally available to me to have help before this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my own personal story was really invested in like,
yeah,
you know, there's a way which we make our suffering valid and therefore hold on to it.
Totally.
yeah,
this big victim consciousness type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I would have just kept, like, I can't answer that question because I can also see the me who's like, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. As I'm like actively like drowning in water. Right. Mm-hmm. And also, like, listeners, you know, just to give you a context, it's hard to even explain. But it's like, my son said the other day, my 5-year-old said to me the other day, sometimes I just always feel like something is missing.
Mm.
And Ray was sitting on the couch next to me when this happened, my friend, and we were both like, oh, pal.
Yeah.
Because like, that is the feeling of having ADHD. It's like there's always something that you've forgotten and you're always reaching, trying to figure out what the fuck you've forgotten.
Oh my God. That is such a good way to explain it, because I'm like, I know that feeling. Like, when you're traveling and you're like, not totally here because you're also there, and you're like, a piece of your mental energy is going somewhere else.
And it is like 24/7 for me.
Okay. Wait,
but
so
I'm used to it.
Today was the first day that you tried it. Was it
today
Ritalin,
was the
Adderall?
First day. I forget what it was called, man. ADHD. I have no fucking clue what it was called.
Okay.
She did tell me, but I've since forgotten. It wasn't Adderall. It's a newer drug that's like a slow, like a time release. Release.
So you took it today.
Took it today because I had the whole day with no meetings, no kids, like, and a long list of things that I wanted to write and create. And you know, if you follow my email list or social media, like you probably can tell that I really enjoy writing, mm-hmm. but it's also an incredibly anxiety-ridden experience for me. Mm-hmm. Like it's really hard for me to get into myself enough to write, and I do a lot of buffering, meaning like I pop out of myself a lot, mm-hmm. and I'm always trying to like corral the environment to be like, okay, headphones are on, snack is here. Like, anyway, it's yeah. like always like I'm trying to create an opportunity to feel safe enough diving in. Mm-hmm. But then I just took drugs and then I wrote all that.
Yeah.
Like, why? Okay.
Well, I get what I want to know is like, so how did that feel?
I Are felt you like saying, God. Like, do you? I literally like- felt like God. Like I was like, oh, holy shit. I cannot believe I have accomplished anything without access to this. Like it's almost hard for me to put into words, but it literally feels like I have been fumbling around in the dark and had no idea that there was a light switch. Because I wrote like all day. Because usually if I have a whole day, I spend most of it fucking around and trying to get myself to focus and feeling bad about my difficulty focusing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I jam up against my timeline. And then I like feel enough pressure that I like force myself to get something done.
Yep. That's like what yeah. this flow program is going to talk about too. Just like the cycle of that suffering.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up on the heels of your flow program. Cause it feels like so topical. Yeah. But like I literally got a month's worth of work done today in one day.
Yeah.
Like the equivalent of what I do in a month, I got done in a single day.
But regardless, I'm not as interested. Mm. Well, I mean, that's cool. I'm interested in like what was your internal experience? You know, like, so you got work done and that's awesome, but it was because like, did it feel like you had focus in a way that you've never focused before? Like you said, you came back to yourself, I think is what you said at the top of the show. You're like, I didn't know what it was like to come back to myself in this way. So I'm kind of curious.
Have access to yourself.
Yeah. Like yeah. that.
Sounds- well, so it's interesting because it makes sense that for you, like, okay, yeah, you got a lot of work done, like, but tell me how it really felt. Mm-hmm. But like, I could cry because it yeah. feels so emotionally significant that I could get a lot of work done mm-hmm. because it's a really complicated thing for me to actually accomplish mm-hmm. shit, right? Like coaching calls are on the calendar, podcasts on the calendar. I show up and I'm in response, right? But things that are like me creating, whether it's writing or whether it's like recording content, like meditations, like anything that's not an immediate like, hi, I'm sitting here waiting for you to respond mm-hmm. takes this like tremendous amount of willpower or like being lucky enough to fall into the right like
yeah
stimulation sensory shit that I can get it done mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. And so it feels like safety
mm, yeah.
Because I'm to this thing about the doing, like I'm constantly just chasing the list of things that I want to do. And I have built my life and my business in a way that like the things that are on my list, 90% of them are things that I genuinely want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Because I've been swimming in my own version of your flow medicine. And so it's not even like, oh, I don't want to do any of this, so I'm putting it off. It's like, no, all of this is really meaningful and I love it. And also I can't be in it enough to like write the book or mm-hmm. like outline the course or, you know, yeah, there's just like all sorts of things that just stay in dream state
yeah.
because I can't hold it.
Yeah. You can't, the execution piece is really difficult. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I'm really, I don't know. I feel honored, honestly, to be the recipient of this like experience and you explaining to me like, actually, no, the getting the work done is like the big significant piece. And I think I love that description of like, yeah, it feels like safety because then you're not always, I could see that like, yeah, this is really interesting to me, like, because you're not always, I guess, you know, flailing.
And it feels like, oh, have I built this entire business fighting myself? Mm-hmm. Like, if I've been an internal war with myself for, you know, 3 years, and maybe is there a way that I could have support and it yeah. would feel different and it would feel really easy.
Yeah.
You know?
So I know this is just day one. So like these questions yeah. might you may not have answers yet, but like, do you think you're going to go and talk to your doctor and like get a prescription? And
yes, like yeah. tomorrow, first thing I'm yeah. going to call. Yeah, yeah. Which I'm sure will be its own kind of process, but yes, I'm definitely going to make a phone call tomorrow morning. And, I just feel like really excited of like, whoa, who is the person who doesn't have so many fucking obstacles mm-hmm. to creating what they want in the world? And I feel like, holy shit, I can't wait to meet her. She sounds great.
Yeah. Like, I think what sounds exciting about this is like, I mean, I think this is how it is with a lot of prescription drugs, you know, like if you find the right one and it works, it's like all of a sudden you come out of this haze a little bit.
Yeah.
Or like, it's a little bit like being, what's his name? Jim Carrey in the Truman Show. And you just like come out and you break out through the wall and you're like, whoa, I didn't know this whole other world exists. So I'm like, yes, that's like
that's
exciting.
What it feels. Yeah. Like, whoa, like you could just sit down, like literally the thought that you could sit down with a to-do list and like, or maybe sit down with like creative projects. Cause that's even like, but sit down with things that you want to create and accomplish and then just do them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thought that that could be uncomplicated actually blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then I have like all this like kind of grief showing up that's like, oh, holy shit. Like, yeah. What, like, yeah. Just like the compassion of like,
yeah.
Whenever you get help for something that you've been like limping with for a long time, there's always mm-hmm. a moment of like, oh man, you've been really limping for a long time. That leg hurts, huh?
Yeah.
And the other thing I will say is, the thing that surprised me the most, and Ray agreed with me when we were talking about this, my experience with shame, the volume on shame turned like way, 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 way.
Oh, that makes so much sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming, yeah, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
It surprises me, but also makes perfect sense. And again, in the sense of like, it's like if a fan's been going in the background and someone turns it off and you're like, oh, I had no idea that was there. Right. Like so much of my own journey is about like making peace with shame and like, you know, the monster work of like, of loving myself through shame. And also it didn't actually occur to me the weight of shame that I have carried about how hard it is for me to just sit down and fucking do the things I want to do. And like, for example, there's a handful of emails that I've been wanting to write that have shame associated with them, either because it took me a long time to get them or because the topic of the email felt like a little, you know, an interpersonal one that maybe was a little sensitive, and they've just been sitting there. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I can write those emails. Mm-hmm. Like all sorts of things that like specifically because all of a sudden they're just like, yeah. And so it's just wild. I feel really curious to unpack like what it just felt like liberation today. It felt like, oh, all of this anxiety that I have gotten really used to, like, you know, I got a million fucking tricks to quiet the mind, all of this shame that I've gotten really good at learning how to dance with, all of this like hacking of my own existence so that I can get a few things done, like what if I didn't need those and I could just like be free to pick what I want to do and then fucking do it. Mm-hmm. And I can't even really put into words how mind-blowing it feels that I could just like decide I want to write and then write for an hour.
Yeah.
Because that's actually not normally available to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing. The way that you're describing it is pretty amazing because you are really functional. So it's like, so, you know, this idea that like you haven't been able to sit down and write for an hour is a little bit, yeah.
Wild, right?
Yeah, it's wild because I don't know how you get all the things done that you get done then.
Yeah. That's like, that's what I feel like. Oh my gosh. If I have accomplished what I have accomplished with like, and there's a, like with all of the,
stuff, like then what could happen without all the stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who do I get to become if I'm not? Like, it literally feels like, oh, I've been like, chained up or like, yeah, in the dark or like all of these ways of just basically feeling like, holy shit, there are all these limits and I didn't know that they were limits.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, I don't know. Watch out, everybody.
Do you think you're going to, okay.
That so I will take over the world now? Yes.
Well, that probably would have happened anyway. So even, you know, it might have taken maybe a little bit longer, but I think it could have happened. Other questions that you may not have answers to. Do you think you'd recommend it to your family? And also, do you think you would get it prescribed for your son?
So that's one of the reasons I also feel really grateful for this, because inevitably it will come up with my son, like the question, right? Whether or not it feels like the right thing for him to do. And I feel like this gives me access to making a more informed decision about mm-hmm. what will be right. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't know. He's only five, mm-hmm. but it will be a question that gets posed to us at some point. And so I'm grateful to be able to help him navigate that. Yeah. However we decide experience. To navigate it. Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's I think honestly one of the more like that's got to be a huge, beautiful piece of this, because now that you've walked this journey, you are more well equipped to guide him through it.
And I also feel excited, like, again, this is like, you know, this is like hot off the press material you all are getting. Mm-hmm. But like when my son and I have tension, it is very often because he is like wild and loud and overstimulated, and it kicks off my nervous system and I get overstimulated and I can't, it's like I can't hold both of our energy and I just like need him to like step back, and that's not available to him. And so we just like radiate off of each other. And so the idea that like I could have more access to an inner calm that's not me forcing myself to be different and better, quote unquote, mm-hmm. right? But just that like I could get access to help that would like allow me to like focus differently and experience my nervous system differently. I feel really intrigued to discover how that might empower me to hold space for him in his wildness and not need to project onto him like, oh my fucking God, stop being so wild.
Yeah. To piggyback off my story earlier about how like I've been obsessed with productivity my entire life, because that was the measuring stick for like all that was good. I am just reminded of like my experience with Adderall. So in college, I'm like, how much do I want to tell about this story? But in college, some really good friends who had prescriptions to Adderall. I just think it's an interesting industry and drug, because I don't know. I don't know if I understand it. But anyway, for someone who didn't need it, I mean, I think I don't know what the experience is like with someone who's neurodivergent who's compared to someone who's not, but I do also get that sense of like, for me, it was probably like a kicked up version of that, which was not necessary. Like, so like all of us would just take like a bunch of Adderall, and I loved it because it gave me that like high of being like, mm-hmm. I can do anything. And like, I can like, all my ideas were so great. All my ideas were like, oh my God, I'm a genius. It's like cocaine in a way, actually. But, it's just really interesting to me that I think that I was attracted to that. I knew I was attracted to that because it gave me a sense of like, okay, I can accomplish anything. I can like work for hours on end without sleeping. Like that was like, you know, it's like this appetite. It's like, I was like, it's a perfect drug. It's an appetite suppressant. Like I don't have to sleep. And I also can like work on all these projects and whatever, and be super social and be super smart. And like, and then you crash mm-hmm. and then you feel like ass. But like, I think back on that, I'm like, that was really a sad thing, because it like, the only reason I love that experience was because I'm like, oh, I can do more. It like, it perpetuated this idea of like doing was like so great. And the one thing that I will say out loud, I think, you know, I think it's like important to name these things, is like, the one thing that I'm really self-conscious about physically in my face is that my face is asymmetrical, as in I have a huge like overbite that maybe some people notice, maybe other people never notice or whatever, but it was purely from grinding my teeth because I did so much Adderall. So I literally fucked up my face. And after years of having braces in high school, my parents were so kind to get me braces. Like, I just fucked it all up because I was in such that was just like my life back then. Like I, yeah. as people who know, who listen to the podcast, my life prior was a lot of partying, a lot of drugs, a lot of like just ridiculously indulgent behavior. Mm. So I don't know. I share that because it's like, wow. Like there are some things that people do drastically that will like, you really are so desperate and you end up paying this like price. That's kind of sad. And so there is a lot of grief for me too there about that, about like, oh, that's how I treated myself. That's what I valued. A lot of grief for like not taking care of my body.
Yeah.
Also so much gratitude for like the healing of like not being there anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, thank you for speaking to that and sharing that. And I think I feel you're helping me put into words something that I was feeling today, which was, I'm really grateful that I'm actually grateful that I didn't have access to this
when you were irresponsible.
You were wilding out in your 20s and I was like hanging out, you know, being a super nerd, right? Totally, we had different.
Yeah, exactly. Two totally different paths here.
I've been wild plenty of times, but I think my commitment to like getting shit done to prove that I'm good was so deeply baked in that if I had had access to a tool or a drug that made it easier for me to do earlier, mm-hmm. I would have just been like high on like proving my goodness mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And I think I've done enough work to unhook from that, that instead the gift is, oh, I can create. Like that was my feeling today. It was not like, oh, great, I can get all these things done so I don't need to feel like a bad person anymore, mm-hmm. which would have been my story, like, certainly would have been my story.
It would have like perpetuated that in some way. Yeah.
Enabled.
Yeah. Enabled. Yeah. That's a great way of saying
and
it.
And instead it felt like I have this hunger to create. I am a deeply creative person and it has been hard for me to have access to the like space and bandwidth to like move it out into the world from out inside of my body, like And so I feel really actually grateful that I didn't figure out that drugs could help until
today. That's like a really important point, because I can hear someone listening to this who may still be like early on in their journey and like wanting Adderall or Ritalin for all the wrong reasons. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a real thing. That's like a very real thing. And actually that's really complicated, because it's like, well, what's right and what's wrong? And also if you're neurodivergent, it's really complicated and it's totally individual and like you get to decide. But I hear what you're saying is like, you've made a choice from you say this all the time, but a sovereign place. It's like, or from a place of like not being in reaction to anything negative or lack or scarcity, but like this feels like an empowered choice. That's really one of love, not of lack.
Well, and I think what I would say to, again, like newbie to this experience, but like if you're neurodivergent or you think you might be neurodivergent and your relationship to getting shit done is laced with tremendous shame, mm-hmm. maybe go see if you could get some help.
Yeah.
Because if I like, I used the discomfort of my shame to like unhook and unhook and unhook. And also like your overbite story, like maybe that could have actually been a wound I could have, right? Like I used it to my advantage, but also the shame is its own evidence of like decades of kind of cruelty towards myself, mm-hmm. that maybe I could have also just opted out of. Yeah. So, both. But I don't think shame, I don't think that you're like made a better person by having shame. I think you can learn to love yourself through it, but I don't think it's like, oh, this was a good workout and now I'm stronger. I think that shame is like, a kind of poison. You're not required, like versus like anger, grief, rage, like all of these, I think like are really like experiences of love secretly. But I think shame is just a kind of poison and it's not and you can love yourself through it. And that is really like, that's an incredible gift you can give yourself, but it's not like, it's not a suffering that proves any kind of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I will have a book written by the end of the year. I'll have 800 courses. No, I'm just kidding.
But I can't wait.
I am curious to see how it unfolds.
How it unfolds. Yeah, me too.
I'll be sure to bring it here.
Yeah. I expect you to, and I'm sure our audience would love to hear the journey as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to, do we want to like do a volley? I know we talked about a couple of things you want to share. Do you want me to go into some of what I wanted to share?
Yeah.
Okay. So, gosh, where do I even begin, y'all? okay. Let's just throw it out there. Adam and I are probably going to move back to Arizona at the end of the year. And then I'm going to go possibly live in an intentional commune or intentional community, which is a new word for commune. Which is the present day word for commune. I think that's like the general overview of what's been unfolding, what might happen. So all of this is TBD. I don't actually know if it's going to happen. It feels really important that I follow this urge to like live in connection to the land. I think my one concern about sharing it with as many people as I have shared it with, because I have talked to like a lot of my closest people, including Kylie, about like, okay, I have this urge to go live a different kind of way and I don't know what it looks like and I want to be connected to women and community or whatever. I think my one concern is like, I say I'm going to do something and then I don't like that. Like I don't, that's a harsh judgment that I have on myself that I don't think I need to have. But if I'm being completely transparent, like that is a fear that I have. What if I tell everyone I'm going to go do this thing and then like, I don't do it. So
can I ask?
Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask why you're afraid of that? Like what would that signify or what would the consequence be?
I'm afraid of like not being true to myself. Mm-hmm. And then, or no, actually, I don't know. It could be like, what if I'm not true to myself? And then like everyone sees that, but is that even true? It's also this idea of like, oh, I don't know why I've been like this my entire life. Usually I don't like talking about ideas really publicly until they're like fully baked, but there is the same thing happened to me when I was a coach where I started in, I still remember sitting across the table from my coworker in Brooklyn when I told her, like, I started telling her about like how I wanted to be a coach. And she was like, ask me questions. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it yet because it's like not ready. And if it's not ready, then I don't go through with it. Then maybe I'll feel like a failure, some type of negative shame story, probably. Anyway, and it's so interesting to see myself back in the same, I actually feel like I'm in a very similar place where I like kind of changed my whole life and started like working for myself 5 years ago or however many years ago that was. This idea of like, oh, something's calling me.
I think it was like 8 years ago, pal. I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 8 years ago because I started because I went to.
So
I
started the podcast. It was 5 years ago.
Right. Have we been doing the pod? No. Have we been doing the podcast for 5 years? No.
Yeah. No, 5 years, three.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
Yeah. But yeah. And then I started working a couple years before that. And then I was in coaching school before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before I like went to coaching school, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I've asked myself that question. I'm sure we can like dissect it together, but there is this feeling of like, either I'm not going to be true to myself or, I think I don't like it when, I don't know if this is like a strict Capricorn thing, but I don't like it when people don't follow through on what they're going to do. That's what it is.
That's very Capricorn.
That's like
it's really funny that because I literally, I do love being psychic because I was like, oh, this is a Capricorn fear of being flaky.
So okay. So, you know, you and I have had this conversation before where like, you're like, I'll just say an idea, not because you have to execute it, but just because you love throwing things out and seeing what works. And like, you're in this like sort of creative brainstorming energy. And you have said that both Nick, your partner, and I, who are both Capricorns, are like, no, we don't do that. Like, I don't do that. I don't throw things out. I'm in here digesting and processing all on my own. So by the time I bring it to the surface, like it's
a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's like ready to go. So
yes, this has caused confusion for both you and Nick. Now I have to explicitly share with both of you, like, rainstorm phase.
Yes. Like, which I love. It's been like so helpful.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Kylie used to say something and I pick it up and be like, okay, let's go. And she would be like, right. No. Like, like let's pump the brakes. Yeah. Cause that was just an idea.
Well, it was really an act of like love from you. Right. Which was like, oh, this idea is important to Kylie. I have to run with it. And I was over there like, oh, I guess you even really liked that idea, yeah. right? Like just this miscommunication of like, what do you think? And you're like, well, I got to take it and run with yeah. it because Kylie loves it.
Exactly.
And my husband often would just feel bamboozled and overwhelmed because
that was like
see
so
my
helpful.
Earlier comment of you act before you think, right. coupled with brainstorm ideas not fully baked, and he has a reason for maybe wanting some.
Yeah. Anyway, that kind of awesome. Level of self awareness and experience that you had in your relationship was so helpful for me. And our working dynamic and yeah. stuff. So yeah, I guess it's that. It's like, you know, I'm pretty serious about it. So, but who knows? I also know that like things totally can change. Mm-hmm. But the big, like to catch up, you know, anyone.
Can I interject something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, please.
Well, I just also am reflecting that it feels like it makes sense that you compared it to when you were starting your coaching business because it feels like something that's tender, right? It's like when you're like, growing plants and you plant the seeds and you're growing the little plants in your kitchen and they're not like ready.
I'm protective of it.
It's like, it really means something and it doesn't yet have deep enough roots that you can trust that it'll be fine in the frost. And so you're careful of it because I suspect it feels a little like it could like poof and dissolve because yeah, it just hasn't exactly. had enough time. And also it means a lot to you.
Totally. Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you for saying that because that's exactly how it feels. And that's how I feel all the time when there is something that I feel like that feels important to me. I am very protective of it. And if it doesn't have roots yet, you know, like I wanted to like give it time to like really have roots. And so, but I mean, here I am talking because the truth is like, I've been thinking about this for a while at this point, like not just summer, like this urge that I have to go. So what I want is I have this vision of being in community with people, like living, I don't know what it is, like living off the land, but like with the land. And it just feels like this very sacred space. I thought at one point it had to do with like agriculture and farming. And I'm realizing, nope, like that is not it. I'm not trying to like work myself because agriculture is, you know, very physically.
Tremendous labor.
Yeah. A lot, yeah. And that's just not the vision that I have. And so
feels more like Thoreau Walden.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But God, like even as I say this, like my soul, my belly, like just has this feeling of like, I just feel like this is the way that we're supposed to live, like mm-hmm. closer to the land and connected to the earth in some way. And I just, and my love of nature, my ever unfolding relationship with nature and the connection I'm building with her is just like, we're just at the tip of the iceberg, baby. Like there's so much here that I want to experience and explore that I think is outside of the confines of traditional, whatever you call this kind of life, like mm-hmm. traditional, what is this life? Like city, suburban,
late stage capitalism.
Yeah. I think so because yeah. So I think the big takeaway that I had that I started to share with Kylie yesterday was like, when I put out, so I really believe in speaking things into existence, right? So y'all, if you like really, and I was just talking to another friend about this, like she wanted this job, but she didn't know it existed. Like if you think it exists and then you just kind of speak it, that is the beginning, I think, of some of your reality shaping itself, I think, to meet you. And I, do you want to say something?
Reading my bear paw, continue, but I have a comment to make about that. Carry on.
Okay. And so I kept saying to everyone, when I had this idea that I was like, I don't know if what I'm looking for exists, you know, are people even doing this? And what I did find was once I like started talking to my network, and honestly, thank God for this podcast, because I think this podcast has been the network where I've met a lot of people who are just fucking doing a lot of crazy cool shit. And, you know, so I've reached out to a bunch of different people and I've gotten so much feedback that there's actually a lot of this available, except I didn't know about it because I was living a very, not one dimensional, but limited. No, I don't know. I don't want to call it something negative, but it's like, I'm only in this box. So I only know this way of living. And so I didn't know that there are other ways of living. And I know this is what exactly, that lesson in itself is exactly what my body wanted. My body wanted to, cause I couldn't explain it to people, but I was like, I've always been like, I'm interested in alternative ways of living, which sounded not like enough of what I was trying to say. But it was this sense of like, you can do, there's like so many different ways of doing something, and there is literally no like right or wrong way. But when we are just used to something, that just becomes the norm. And then we get sort of we're blinded to like other possibilities. And I think that the fact that all these like options are coming to me are helping me see that like my view was a little bit myopic, and that actually anything is fucking possible. And there's a bunch of other people out there doing it too.
Yeah.
It's the same feeling that I think a lot of people get when they travel, right? Like you're okay. So let's use America, especially America, because we think, you know, America's exactly like we're like, we're number one, whatever. Right. And then you go to somewhere completely foreign and like really different. And I mean, it is a sense of like your consciousness is opening up a little bit where you're like, oh, wait a second. It is the Truman Show. Like I'm stepping out into a new world that I didn't know existed. And this whole other huge world exists. And I don't know, anything is possible.
Yes. And it's funny. I think I've shared on the show before that I moved when I was 16. So I more or less lived in this. I lived in the same town for a really long time. My grandparents, both sets, were in that town. So I knew it really well. And when I was 16, my family moved to Maine. And it blew my mind, because when you're 16, you literally think the whole world revolves around you. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I like little things like moving from Massachusetts to Maine and being like, wait, your town in Maine doesn't have like 6 ice cream shops, right? Or like, wait, there's not everyone isn't Catholic here, right? Like things that you know just you're myopic,
because you take it for granted. You just assume that
everything is what you know.
Yeah.
And then I remember that moment of being like, I've always felt grateful for like getting that before I went to college, because then I felt like by the time I entered college, I had an awareness that the world was not all exactly what I knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is wild how much, it's just wild how much we are used to, I don't know, like used to things being a particular kind of way. And then when that's all that's reflected back at us, it's like, okay, well, I guess this is like, this is the choice that I have. These are, you know, chocolate or vanilla, you know? Mm-hmm. And I hear what you're speaking to is realizing like, oh, there's a million fucking choices, and liberation lives here where I get to make all these sovereign choices.
Yeah.
And I think the bravery of that means you're responsible for your choices.
Yeah.
Well, when everything's scripted, you're not really responsible. It's just like, well, I guess this is what we do next, you know?
Yeah. I think what I want to say, God, there's so much to say about this, but I think one thing I think is important to know is that like, it's also like not anyone's fault sometimes. Like, you know, like you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's the thing that scares me, that space of like, I didn't even know that I didn't know. Like, I don't, that is like, I think what I don't want. Mm. And a lot of people like, you know, if you live in it, if you're, oh God, there's so many movie examples, like Pleasantville is another one. Or like, if you're Jim Carrey in the Truman Show, I'm assuming most people have seen this movie. Have you seen the movie? Mm-hmm. Okay. So like
one of my favorite movies when I was growing up.
It's like, he doesn't know, like, it's not his fault. Like you don't, there's no like it's, that's what ignorance is also like an interesting thing. Cause I don't fault anyone for being ignorant. I don't mean ignorant as in like, you're dumb, as in like, how are you supposed to know? Like, how are you supposed to know that this other way of being exists? Cause you've never been exposed to it. Right. Mm. But I think that to me is like, I don't know why. I just feel like I've been born. Sometimes it feels like a curse, Kylie. Like I feel like I've been born with this curse of being like, I can't do that. Like I can't, I don't want to, I there's too much of life to experience. That's too beautiful. And what if I'm just living this whole time? Like, I don't know what I don't know. And I'm like getting emotional about it because this feels so like it's like, not just me, but I think the limit that so many people experience. And it's sad because the world is like really beautiful and it's like meant to be experienced. And it's like, there's so much more out there. And I want that for myself and also for everyone, but even for people who don't know that they feel this way. It's like, I don't know that I don't know. It's like, you, maybe if you are like truly content, like that's a beautiful thing, by the way. Like that's, if you can get to a place where you're content, you're enlightened. Like if you're really happy and grateful with your life, that's a really great thing. Cause I think that's a hard place to get to, but it's also like, what if you didn't know that there's like this other way of being out there?
Yeah.
It's like, I just feel like we're all souls here who came to experience as much as we can, mm-hmm. I guess. And I don't know. I just feel really passionate about that, I guess. Fuck.
That's fucking beautiful, Eva.
I didn't
this
know.
That's what I mean about like, you being someone with such integrity, right? Because what I hear you saying is like, some deeper part of you has called you forward, right? Some deeper part of you has said this way, and then you can't not listen. And I think that's really potent because I think it's so like fully baked in that perhaps you don't see it as like a superpower, right? Well, it's like, well, I had to choose me because what other choice is there? But we make the choice to abandon ourselves all the fucking time. Right.
Yeah.
And that also is okay because that's also, it's, you know, we're going to get meta. Like that's also its own kind of experience.
Yeah.
And,
cause I was going to say though, like, this is like a really fucked up thing to say, but sometimes I like wish that I could abandon myself because it's easier. Like, you know what I mean? There's a real comfort to that. And I'm in a lot of suffering. Like I'm in a state of like when I'm in the in-between and I'm like, okay, I see that something's wrong and I know that I need to like keep going. Like, and I'm like, but there's like suffering in that too of like, I don't know how to explain it.
I know it though.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the feeling of, it's like when the part of you calls you forward, it's like, keep going. And you're actively dissolving into caterpillar goo, right? Yeah. Like you're actively being remade. And I mean, I think what I hear you speaking to is like, you can't not follow that. And also,
and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. The dissolving is scary, right? It's like, who am I going to like, what parts of me are going to die in this process? Or like, what do I have to let go of? Or like, how will I be called to like free fall into the abyss that is existing? And also the sense of like, you know, well, fuck it. This is my only choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And it isn't your only choice, but I at this point feel like I have so consistently chosen myself in the face of really scary places that it actually feels harder for me to abandon myself.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to get to, right?
Choosing is wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to get to because I think that shows like, there's some trust there and some experience of knowing like, well, the other way doesn't work. Staying like, you know, staying where you are also isn't going to work. But I think the suffering is like, it sucks staying and it also sucks leaving for a while anyway, until you get over the hump and then pray to God, hopefully you get over the hump and then like you feel better on the other side. But that's the suffering, is that it fucking feels like shit to stay, but it also feels really fucking hard to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been talking to Desi a lot lately about like a paradox basically, and trying to speak to the way in which we can feel like happy and sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He's really sensitive. So sometimes I watch him like try to pretend he's right. Like try to push out one feeling because he thinks because the other one's louder. Right. Yeah. So it's like, it's been a really, really great day and then something bad happens and he's like, well, everything's terrible. Or he's really sensitive and he wants to pretend he's fine. So we've been talking about like what it means to have something bittersweet happen. And that's kind of what I'm thinking of in this moment is like, it's hard to leave. It's hard to stay. There's discomfort either way. And there's this like bittersweet sense of like, okay, well then I guess I'll choose the discomfort that leads to growth.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the discomfort that leads, that that creates stagnation.
Stuck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. You know, like this is a very common like coachy thing, which I think is like, it sucks either way. So you pick the suck that is ultimately helpful. Yeah.
It's funny when I like, when I was young and I would think about like spirituality, I remember being really, really, really afraid that God, that I don't use the word God that often, but at that time it was really resonant that like God would basically be like Joan of Arc style. Okay, great. Now you have to go march into battle. And I would just be like, I know, I just want to be a little kid.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because as a kid, I had this really profound mystical experience of like feeling in my body, like I'm never going to be asked to do something that doesn't take care of me.
Mm.
And like carrying that truth ever since that moment. But also I think a lot about the way that you like build this trust muscle, you know, like you choose the stuff that leads to growth in small ways until eventually it's a really big, it's a really big thing, but it's a matter of course to take the big step,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so this is a really big step that you're on the precipice of. And I think it's really beautiful, the depth of your faith in yourself and in your ability to surrender and the wisdom of your own body that you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm like going back in my head, but have I done it yet? But no, you know what? I take that and I will receive that. And I wrote down what you said, like, I'm never going to be asked to do something that doesn't take care of me. Like, that's a really helpful reminder. So, oh, thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one that I'm like constantly circling back to.
Yeah.
But 13-year-old Kylie got that one. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we call these things downloads.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I will say a couple more things though that are like, because again, all of this is up in the air. Like there's a lot up in the air. Like, I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck are my parents gonna think? Like, I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea much about a lot of things. I will say though, so basically, like part of what was so like a hard step that I needed to take was like to have this conversation with Adam, my partner, to be like, hey, so like we're in a relationship, but I want to go do this thing. And he was not surprised.
And also just because it's been understated, like specifically you want to go and live in an intentional community by yourself.
Yes.
And so that's part of the relationship conversation.
Yes. And so we also don't know what, like, it's everything's in the up in the air, nebulous right now. We don't know what that's going to look like. But God, like, yeah, that conversation was like, I don't know. Like basically what he said was like, there was tears and there was a lot of emotions, but basically he was just like, I never want to keep you from doing something that you want to do. And yeah. I love you. And if I love you, I need to let you be free, which is like, I don't know. I don't have words. Like, it's just such a fucking gift, because I think I like am someone who's always felt like a need to be free, but to also then be able to, I don't know. I don't have words for that kind of generosity. So that was a big fucking deal. And I'm really lucky because I know a lot of people who, may have this desire and don't have partners who are as supportive.
Yeah.
I'm also pretty aware that I like attracted this kind of support into my life. Like, yeah. I knew who I was. He knew who he was dating when he started dating me, which he's like, I'm not surprised that this is what you want. And I knew who he was, which is like a really mature person. Cause if he came around and said the same thing to me, I would also be like, I love you. So be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing and like believing that your partner has the capacity for that, and then actually like receiving and experiencing it though are two really different things.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So I'm really.
Oh yeah. That's like a really another good point of like, I couldn't receive it at first. It was like receiving that much love was like, ooh, like my whole nervous system was like, oh my God, like what is happening? Well, I thought I was going to explode. So that was also a helpful lesson in receiving.
This just reminds me that we have to have a Kylie and Eva talk about therapy episode on the podcast.
Update about therapy. I think we last time we left off, we were both looking for therapists.
Yeah, I think you had just found yours and I was on the hunt.
Okay.
But I had an experience where my therapist basically was like, we're going to practice feeling in your body how much people love you. And I was like, cool, I want to die. It's so fucking terrible.
Yes. Yes. And I had an experience where I basically had a psychedelic experience just through feeling my feelings. So let's put that on the calendar.
Your story about like your body being like overwhelmed by receiving love reminds me that we'll do the therapy chat.
All right, friends, I have to run soonish. So I want to like call it because I feel like we could, you know, I feel like we should end every episode by saying the same thing. We could talk forever, which is true. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
Just so you know, listeners, Eva and I talked for 4 hours last night.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Still not enough.
People are going to think we're like sickos, but you know, we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And some podcast brainstorming to do. So, well, I mean, this is just the beginning. We're fully back for season 3. So don't you worry if you are a regular listener of the show. We're gonna keep you posted whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and I'm super excited by the guests that we have lined up for this season. We have some like really fucking cool people coming on the show. We have a good number of like all-stars coming back on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to. I'm just grateful to have this back on my calendar.
Yeah, me too.
My favorite.
I'm really curious to see how season 3 unfolds, because I always learn something new and we're always constant, like this is a playground for us in which we're like dissolving. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Do you want to share anything else before we go into Joy?
At some point I would love to talk on the show about how we've decided to homeschool.
Oh yes.
Desi this year. We don't have time to dig in now, but since it's September, I'll mention we made a decision this summer to homeschool. So my kids go to a half day nature program in the mornings, and then in the afternoons we do like math and reading, and I'm teacher mom. It's very new. I feel really affirmed of my decision so far, and, you know, a little nervous and uncomfortable. Yeah. But the thing about it that was really cool was, it was also an example of having to choose myself and it being really, really clear to me what felt in my body like the right choice for my family, and like getting to a point where it was like, you can't keep projecting yourself. Like, you have to do what you think is right. And like, you know, judgment and consequences be damned. It felt like a really, it felt like a really big moment. I feel like so grateful watching, like, I'll just share this brief story before we go that felt really affirming. So we're practicing writing the other day, right? Because Desi has a hard, he's 5, so he has a hard time writing, and then he gets really frustrated because it's hard, right? And so we're just practicing our writing for a couple, you know, 10 minutes a day or whatever. And she's trying to do these 3s, and he just gets fucking furious. He can't, he like keeps doing them backwards, or something's getting messed up about them, and he's just furious. And he just starts to have like a total meltdown. He was also hungry, but he just started to have like a total meltdown. And it was just like, you know, he definitely is the kind of kid who has a hard, he doesn't like when he doesn't know how to do something.
Yeah.
Which I can very much relate to.
Oh, me too.
And what was really amazing was like, I didn't have to make his meltdown wrong, right? Like a teacher with 30 kids in the classroom has no fucking space to like let a kid have a temper tantrum. Like, it's just not fair. It's not fair to the other kids in the classroom. She doesn't have bandwidth for it. But I could just like be patient and let him have a moment of being angry. And he's like, I want to rip the paper. And I was like, okay, rip the paper, you know? And so he ripped the paper and crumpled it up, and he's crying. And then like, and I was sat with him, and I, you know, I kept saying like, mistakes are the evidence that you're learning. Like, you're gonna make so many mistakes. You're never gonna stop making mistakes. Like, unless you're not trying anymore, you're never gonna stop making mistakes. And so that's like kind of the mantra as he's like angry and crying. And then I was like, okay, you know, now we're gonna try again. And I get out a new piece of paper to draw the 3s again, because that was a number. Or I picked like, what's your favorite number? Which was to draw, which he said was 2. And I was like, okay, we're gonna do 2s, we're gonna do 3s.
Yeah.
3s being the like problem line. And he was like, I'm gonna turn them into 8s. I'm not making 3s. And I was just like, okay, you have to do it. you just have to do it. You just have to do it. And then, you know, all this maybe lasted like 20 minutes, but then he wrote the three and then he immediately wrote another one. And then he immediately wrote a really big one. And then all of a sudden he's laughing and he's drawing like a really big one and he flips the page and like, it was so fucking cool. Right. And he walked away. We were talking about it at dinner and he was like, I still don't like threes, but I got to walk him through this experience. Like my want at five is that he thinks that learning is fun and that he thinks of himself as competent. Like I don't actually care about his ability to draw the fucking three. Right. Mm-hmm. And the ability to like let him have his emotions, not make them wrong. And also like hold, like keep holding him in the space to be like, but now you're going to do it, right? You're not going to be defined by like, I hated it. I'm never going back. And then we could point out like, and didn't it feel better afterwards? Like now you're not afraid. That felt like the moment where it was like, this is why I'm homeschooling my kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know that we'll do it forever. Like we're just doing it this year, but that felt this moment of like, fuck, this is the kind of thing that you don't get to do in a lot of other environments. Yeah. And it feels like a really big deal. And I'm grateful that I get the chance to see what happens.
I mean, honestly, as you were talking about that, like some inner child piece of me was healed. Like we have to have like, because of time, we're going to have to like have another conversation about this. Some like, I want to like dedicate like a whole podcast.
It's still new. This. So there's, you know, I'll have lots of,
but there was like a lot leading up to this, too, this choice, you know? And so like, and which I think if you listen, we talked about it in our last episode before we left for break.
Okay.
I think did we in our bring your flip phone to the revolution?
Yes. Podcast? Yes.
I think you talked about it. So like, if anyone's curious about the unfolding of this, like Kylie was concerned about this, I think, before summer. Anyway, so I have lots of questions and thoughts about homeschooling, but basically yes to that experience, because like it's those experiences that like fucked me up as a kid, like over that happened over and over and over and over and over again, where like you couldn't for what you were told that you were wrong or that you were too much or you didn't have enough time or like all of the things, and that make you feel like unworthy or stupid or, you know, all of those things. So yeah, that's a really powerful experience. And I just have a lot of questions about homeschooling. So maybe, and I'm sure other listeners who have kids, you know, like would be like, wait, so what does this look like? Yeah.
Also listeners, if you have any cool homeschool folks that you think would be a good fit for the show, now I'm, you know.
Well, cause I think, I mean, I'm just got to say this here, like the thing about homeschooling, and I will say again, probably in our homeschooling episode, is like my perception of homeschool kids was that they were always weirdos, right? There's always this like, did you have that?
Oh yeah, that's the story, right?
That's the story, right? But now I know so many people who like homeschool their kids, and they're like, it's one of those awakening moments too, where you're seeing like, oh no, like that alternative way of doing things isn't scary. It actually might be way more sane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I went to a like homeschool cookout last Friday, and it was small, but there was a woman there who's 22 who'd been homeschooled, and then like there was another little girl there who's 8, and both of them were like the most interested people that I've met in such a long time. Both this 8-year-old and 22-year-old that I was like, wait, does school make us less interesting? Like it wasn't like that, because that didn't factor into my decision. My decision had a lot to do with like Desi's energy, my feelings about safety, and a couple other things. Yeah. But I was like, oh, wait, are we being brainwashed?
Yeah.
So I might be becoming radical. I might be radicalizing myself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. I think it's just like radicalizing. And again, which is also strange because I have a lot of like fond memories of public school too. So like that's a whole thing, but
yeah. Like it'll be a big, I think this will be probably a thread of season 3, because it's going to be
ongoing,
an unfolding journey. Yeah, exactly. And there are going to be times where I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to teach you math right now. Yeah. I want to like be a grown up. Right. So it will be also difficult.
Yeah.
You'll all hear about it.
Cool. Okay. So let's do joy. Yeah.
You want to go first?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. So in true Hello Universe tradition, we end every episode with what's something that's bringing you joy. Gosh, what's bringing me joy? I guess the most, well, there's like my brain's overcrowding with things. I wanted to go in a whole slew of summer things, but I think I'll just go with maybe, okay, the most recent thing was that yesterday I met up with Kelsey Rose Hort, who was a guest on our podcast, and meeting her was awesome. I met a couple of her friends too. I learned a lot about, I love being around like human design people because they tell me about myself and I just like learn stuff. And that whole experience was awesome. But I think the reason it brings me joy is because my friend was talking about how, like, I think I'm just trying to be more down, as in there's a part of me that can easily be like, oh, I don't want to make the effort, or like, oh, whatever. Like, honestly, I do think that the pandemic made me more it highlighted my introvertedness, which I've talked about before, which is a beautiful thing, actually. I love my introvertedness, but also there was a way in which I became less down, when I say down, do you know what I mean? Like, my friend was having this conversation about her husband has helped her become more down to do things. She'll say yes.
I'm glad you specified. I was thinking down as in like low energy.
She calls it being down. She's like, I'm down to do things now. Cause she was someone who wasn't necessarily down to do things because she would be tired or like overwhelmed, or, you know, sometimes it's just more comfortable staying in your own house and watching TV.
Inertia is powerful.
And so she was talking about being like, I just really think there's importance, like, as we get older too, that like we have to be intentional about being more down to do things. And I was seeing that in her and I was like, that's a really helpful reminder. Anyway, so it was kind of a combination of like, I wanted to be down to do something and I did it. And it was, I'm so happy that I did, you know, like the payoff is wonderful. So that's what brought me.
And
joy.
Also, what a beautiful, like, testament to how fucking cool this podcast is that we have like friends all over the place.
Yes. I couldn't say enough about that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I have two. Can I share two?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So one, okay, starts with discomfort, but ends good places, which is about 2 weeks ago, my sciatic nerve started to feel like, on my left side, started to feel like just being like stabbed by knives all the time. And I had like, you know, it's not a, I'd had it like when I was pregnant, but like never this sudden and this intense, and usually like, I go like I stretch a little and it goes away. But if this has been like stubborn and persistent.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? What exactly is a sciatica nerve?
It's the nerve. I'm not going to fuck up the like biology of it, but it's a nerve that basically like runs like the length of like your back and down your legs. And so sciatic nerve pain
is usually
the back of your leg. And so it's usually like this very sharp pain that you experience in your hips.
Okay.
But if you start to pay attention, you can, it like radiates out from your hips. If it gets bad, it can go. Cause I've actually been witnessing, cause I've been like really trying to pay attention to it. It's required me to. Then I've witnessed the way it like is this pinpoint at my hip that actually like is pulsating and radiating down to like a knee that sometimes hurts and my lower back, other way to the other. Like I've been feeling the way that there are all these parts of my body are connected, and one point of like discomfort and like contorting is causing like my whole body to be out of whack. So I don't love that. It's been uncomfortable. And because it wouldn't go away, I was like, oh fuck, I guess I have to do something. And one of the like big piece of advice for it is movement. So I've been waking up early, like 6:30 in the morning, leaving my house and going for a walk in the woods. Y'all, between ADHD meds and a daily walk in the woods, like I actually will take over the universe. Hello, it's Kylie's universe. Like just the like, and I leave my phone in the car and I bring my water bottle or a cup of tea in my travel mug and I just like go for a walk in the woods, and it has like felt like the most really potent medicine. And I'm really grateful to the discomfort because I like
got you out there.
I wouldn't. And so we'll see how long it lasts. I'm going to try to do it every, you know, like most days for a month.
It's like your meds and nature, y'all, like it does a lot. Nature and meds are, you know, the appropriate meds are life-giving.
So we'll see, you know, like you. I don't want to like speak something and then be like, well, I did that for 4 days and I've never done it again. But that's been really, 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 really special. And then the other thing is that one of my best friends in the whole world is staying with me for a month.
Oh, really? Wow. Wait, yeah. You mean the friend that's with the...
Ray, yeah.
They helped yeah. you? Oh my God.
They have been here for a couple of weeks. They're staying through the end of the month. And I couldn't be happier to have like one of my like most heartfelt beloved friends. And, you know, we lived together almost 20 years ago. And now, and ever since then, we've been far away. So we get like a weekend or an hour on the phone, and the luxury of time to be like, oh, okay. Is there something important we want to talk about? We can talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Right. Just like this, and it feels like, because there's someone who knows my heart so well, mm-hmm. And our brains are both very similar and also have different specialties, there's yeah. a way that we're like basically just taking tremendous care of each other, but in this like quiet, gentle way that mm-hmm. only a beloved friend can. And so it just feels like, it feels like walking in the woods every day. You know, mm-hmm. it just feels like care and love. And my kids are entirely besotted. Like, they already knew Ray, but there's like, you know, this is a whole new level. My favorite moment was Desi was everyone was at the kitchen table, and Desi picked up his chair, carried it so that he was within an inch of Ray, and then sat back.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So a lot of my COVID journey has been about loneliness, and I've been really, really tending to my loneliness stories over the summer. So the fact that which I think kind of reached a kind of resolution, you know, before there's another chapter of them, and to have the resolution, you know, followed up by one of your best friends with you for a month is yeah. like, okay, universe, we're totally nailing this.
Oh, I'm really happy for you. That sounds really nice. Yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, the whole loneliness thing is real for a lot of people. And yeah, that sounds just amazing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want, yeah, their bestest, one of their bestest of friends to come stay with them.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
10 out of 10. All right. So thank you all for tuning in. We love you so much. If you aren't already, subscribe to the show. That would be great. Yeah. Share it with your folks who you love.
Especially the new season, right? Because we've been quiet for a little while. So tell all your peeps that we're back.
Tell your peeps. You can send the episode. I didn't know you can like share episodes in Apple Podcasts. Anyway, I'll have to tell you about that some other time. Write a review. That's always still a thing that really helps us. And we love you.
And let us know. Like, I've had multiple people say that sometimes you talk out loud back to the podcast. Like, we really love that we get to make this journey with you. So
I love it when people message me on Instagram and be like, oh my God, like I totally agree. Or like,
yes.
Oh, I also love eating eggs this way because they're like the best, you know, like,
yeah. So do you have experience with communal living? Do you have ADHD and take medication? Do you homeschool your kid? Any and all of the above, like come and tell us.
Was there anything that we said that you found that you really, really resonated with? Let us know.
Or hate it. We love
or
that too.
Yeah, or hate it. Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, friends. We'll see you next week. Bye.